We need to start with some background, really, get some terminology sorted out. What is chartered status? Would anybody like to be brave enough to actually give a definition of what chartered status is? When you hear it at the Chartered Teacher Status Conference, and I assume some of you are chartered teachers yourselves, not just working towards it. Anybody actually give me a definition? No?
An element
of enhancement
to your professionalism.
An element of enhancement to professionalism. Well, as perhaps a little bit of a trick question. I mean, you're right, and you're wrong. But yes, you're right. It's three things. It depends on where you're coming from. If you're coming from an organisation's point of view, as you heard David say in his introduction to me, the College of Teachers is a chartered body. It's a royal charter issued in 1849. Building is sat in now, the University of Stirling, got its royal charter in 1963, I think. So the definition, at least from an organisational perspective, is that that organisation is incorporated by a royal charter. But then, as you pointed out, Alison, it's also for individuals. Confusingly enough, though, it's two things for individuals, depending on the industry in which you're working. It's either your license to practice, so a psychologist, for example. Having a degree in psychology isn't enough to call yourself a psychologist. You have to have a master's degree, and you have to register with the British Psychological Society, and you have to fulfil all of the criteria that they lay down professionally. Not just in terms of your academic learning, your degree and your master's degree, but your professional learning as well. It's also for non-regulated industries, the gold standard of practice. So engineering is a good example of that. You don't have to be a chartered engineer to call yourself legitimately an engineer. I think it's easy to see which one we fall into. But even though we fall into that, there are some commonalities between all chartered statuses for individuals. Some of those commonalities we meet and some we don't. And it's interesting to see which ones we do and which ones we don't. So the operator of a chartered status is itself incorporated by Royal Charter. British Psychological Society has one. The Engineering Council, with 14 engineering bodies, has one. I wonder about chartered teacher. Best I can come up with Scotland, at least, is that it's given formally by the government, on advice of government. But that's as far as I can work out. It's not awarded under a royal charter. It's not legislated for. It's an odd situation, that. We'll come on to that in a little bit when we come on to Scotland. Entry is always inclusive in a chartered industry. Always. It's open to everybody, provided they meet certain qualifications, so that's academic and it's practical experience. It's open to everyone. And slightly more controversially, not that I'm necessarily suggesting this for us, but it's also based on a payment by by practitioners. The register is paid for by individuals. Now, it may not be a case of professional development that goes along with it being paid by the individuals, but inclusion in that register certainly is. And ultimately, the reason for an industry wanting to become chartered, it's benchmarking, it's saying that a chartered professional in your industry is very similar professionally, has the same set of standards to one in another industry, irrespective of what that industry may be. And then it's also public trust, it's public understanding. So, if we start to move around the United Kingdom, we'll start with England. On the surface, seems kind of easy. England has no national system for chartered status at all. But that doesn't mean it's not available there. Though I have to say, with the examples that are about to come up, none of them are actually exclusive to England. And if anybody holds one of these statuses, just put your hand up. There's chartered geographer, there's chartered London teacher, there's chartered science teacher, and there's chartered mathematics teacher. one of those from Abel. That's from the British Geographical Society, obviously for geography. The second one down is administered by the College of Teachers. It's administered by ourselves. Chartered Science Teacher by the Association for Science Education. And the maths one through an amalgamation, actually, of the maths subject specialist organisations. You see that three of those there. Does anybody hold one of those? Has anybody heard of any of those? Cool. Well, that's something. For those who actually raised their hand second time, how do you know them because of your subjects? They are in your subject. Was that a nod? That was a no. Okay, so it's just one. Are you working towards it? Whichever one it is. Yeah.
I've decided I'm going to, yes, I'm going to apply and see what happens if you're based in Scotland, but it does not say that you have to be based in England.
Mm, indeed.
Indeed.
In fact, we've been talking to the Association for Science Education about theirs and bringing that chartered status into the college. And they have chartered science teachers all over the world. Certainly not restricted to the UK at all. So, I mean, you'll see there are some similarities there in the post-nominal designations you've got there, which is another indicator of a formal chartered status. It comes with post-nominals and academic dress. It's a professional status. See geog teacher, see site teach, and see math teach. But they're all subtly different. There's a teach and a teacher. It's the same word, all one word for the maths one. They're all a little bit different. It's because they're all entirely independent. Not only are they independent, but as we go around the countries, we'll see that other provision is as well. And that, I don't know about you, that worries me a little bit. That at least in front of you there are four codes of practice. And yet, each of those people can call themselves a chartered teacher or something. If the public doesn't understand inherently, crystally clearly, what a chartered teacher is, they know what a chartered engineer is. That provides a dilution that worries me a little bit. We can talk about that a little bit later. Chartered London Teacher is the only one that doesn't have a designation, embarrassingly enough, since that's run by us. Although it's administered by us and we provide professional qualification that goes alongside it, the Commissioner for London Schools personally awards the Chartered London Teacher status. But there are now about 42,000 teachers in London registered for that. About 6,500 haven't gone through.
Can you just clarify the academic achievement the Chartered London Teacher gets then?
They actually, for that work, get none at all. The college doesn't, the Royal Charter of the College doesn't allow it to provide academic qualifications, their professional equivalents. So nothing academic at all, actually. So across those, the three that are formally awarded come with no pay rise, and those have to be funded by the teachers themselves. Chartered London Teacher is a massive one-off payment of £1,000 before tax and our costs. So, I mean, it's a pat on the back, but it certainly is not a salary increase at all. And although it's in the paying conditions document, it doesn't form part of an incentives package. Northern Ireland is really quite easy there, isn't it, at all yet. They like very much what you are doing, but that's as far as it's gone. And I think the reason is probably this. The 27 teacher competencies, standard competencies for teachers within ITT, in service standards and professional development, are those three. Professional values and practice, professional knowledge and understanding, professional skills and application, which probably look quite familiar, don't they? So they've built those standards actually into the framework and done away with the benchmarking. Scotland. I won't stay very long on Scotland, as I say, because you, of course, all know far, far more than I do there. But what you do is provide the only fully integrated national scheme in operation in the UK so far. This is it. as I was saying before, though, this comes to you actually without any professional recognition at all. I'd like to spend, and I'm going to speed up a little bit here, but I'd like to spend this, the last part of this, with you talking between yourselves, and I'll come and help you with that, about where that gap is, if there indeed is a gap that needs filling. You get currently an academic qualification, get a master's degree, get a master's modules, and then this thing called chartered teacher status. But that's not a status, is it? That's a qualification. You can't lose it. That's part of that qualification. So that's kind of odd to me. Developed initially, of course, as recruitment and retention, as all of these have been. And now the ultimate purpose, even with the standards being revised in September, still makes its ultimate purpose a little unclear to me. Is this supposed to be recruitment and retention? Is it supposed to be professional development? Is it supposed to be putting better practitioners into classrooms and keeping them there? And I think that is part of the confusion that's actually taking place in schools. You know, I've got two statements that Alison Fox put together before she did her AD from teachers. I do not think the present system knows what to do with a chartered teacher. What will our job be? Would anybody notice if we lay dormant for a while? If so, perhaps the value of what we do is not seen by others. The second one, like many others, I'm feeling isolated. Like many others, I'm feeling very isolated in school as regards to chartered teacher, as no one knows what I'm doing or what for. Most, including management, are still under the impression that I'm completing a course that's for my benefit solely and cannot see the bigger picture, even after this recent intervention. People tell me I'll be glad to finish with this chartered teacher nonsense and relieved it's behind me, like it's something in my life that's now over with and I can get on with my real job as I did before. It's frustrating to have people view what you're doing this way, and it devalues what I feel I've both become as a person and as a professional. The overall view here is a chartered teacher is someone who earns money for doing the same job because they did a course. Does that sound familiar to anyone? It's certainly what I've been hearing a lot this morning. I think it's what we've heard in some keynotes this morning as well. And there seems to be a big gap between that and some of the very motivational rhetoric that we've heard about what should be put in place. Wales. Oh, and of course, there is obviously a salary grade, of course, involved with chartered teacher status in Scotland. Wales, two routes to that. Wales since 2007 have been piloting a chartered teacher status, either via a programme route through HEI partnerships and through a professional portfolio route, so school-based route. It's interesting to see the outcomes, actually, of that that two-year pilot exercise.
They're on the website, if you've got to look.
They are indeed.
You see
them on the website. Indeed, yes, they are. From what I can gather from the Welsh Assembly is that the programme route, the HEI route, hasn't done terribly badly at all. Though interestingly enough, there's still this gap between what's expected academically and on paper and what this chartered teacher actually is when they get back into schools. But interestingly for me, the professional portfolio route wasn't a big success. And I wonder actually if that epitomises this, that it is the professional gap that's causing the confusion here.